This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The Republican convention in Cleveland this week has not been as unifying as many in the party had hoped. The GOP officially declared Donald Trump the 2016 presidential nominee. But former opponent Ted Cruz refused to endorse Trump on the convention stage last night, and the crowd was not pleased. And vice presidential nominee Mike Pence took his moment in the spotlight to attack Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. Will Trump follow suit tonight? Time Warner Cable senior Washington reporter Jeff Bennett is at the Republican convention in Cleveland and joins us now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank, from the Quicken Loans Arena, where reporters outnumber delegates 6-1.
I was going to say, it sounds pretty lively there, much more than has been on the floor the past few nights. But look, say what you want about Ted Cruz's speech. It was at least original, right?
It was original indeed. And this morning, Ted Cruz is standing by his non-endorsement of Donald Trump. He confirmed what we had heard from people close to him last night, that the reason why he did not give that full-throated endorsement that so many Trump supporters were waiting on was because, as you remember, Donald Trump attacked Ted Cruz's father, suggested that he might have had something to do with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He also maligned Ted Cruz's wife and retweeted a tweet that suggested that Heidi Cruz was in some way not as pretty as Melania Trump. And for those two reasons, Ted Cruz felt like that invalidated whatever responsibility he had in signing that pledge that all the primary candidates signed to support one another. And he said, "I will not be a servile puppy dog."
So,
but it's also true that Ted Cruz is 45. He has a long career ahead of him. He's playing the long game here. This is a long-term bet on anti-Trumpism. So even if Donald Trump wins, and Ted Cruz is expecting him not to win, but even if Donald Trump wins, I think we will see Ted Cruz primary him in the next election in 2020. If that doesn't work, we'll probably see him back in 2028 or 2036.
But it was a remarkable moment. I mean, rather than say vote for Donald Trump, he said vote your conscience. Let's listen.
If you love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do, stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution.
It wasn't long after that Ted Cruz was really literally booed off the stage and had to leave with his own security. But talk about this a little bit, because he says that Donald Trump knew that this was going to happen, that this didn't come as a surprise.
This is the point of intrigue. So Donald Trump called Ted Cruz on Monday and asked for his endorsement. Ted Cruz was clear that he wasn't going to endorse him. Donald Trump read the speech 2 hours before he delivered it. From what we understand, Donald Trump was okay with letting Ted Cruz go on stage because he was the second highest vote getter in the Republican primary. And he, along with some high-level members of the RNC, were thinking that Ted Cruz might have a last-minute change of heart. So when it became clear that was not going to happen, and I was stationed between the North Carolina delegation and I think it was Oregon across the aisle, and delegates were rising to their feet and screaming, say it, Ted, endorse, endorse, endorse. When it became clear that wasn't going to happen, Donald Trump himself emerges from the back of the auditorium, walks down the steps. I was in the room. I don't know if television cameras cut away from Ted Cruz and then focused on Donald Trump, but that was clearly the intended effect. He walks down the stairs to the front of the VIP booth, and then the entire family Trump stands up and just gives this ice grill stare to Ted Cruz at the stage. The entire arena by this point has changed their attention, now turned around and focusing on Donald Trump, and it was as if toward the end of the speech, Ted Cruz just evaporated from the stage. I don't have any recollection of what he said toward the end of that speech. So now what some people here tend to think is that Donald Trump knowing that Ted Cruz was not going to endorse him, Donald Trump essentially set him up to fail and set him up to be booed so that in some sort of roundabout way, Donald Trump would emerge victorious from all of this, knowing full well that endorsement was not coming.
Well, and then the fallout this morning, I understand, Jeff, there's been from his refusal to endorse. You heard that some of the Texas delegation breakfast this morning, some of what was being said at that delegation, what was going on there?
And it was a home crowd, a home team. It's Ted Cruz's home team,
right?
It's the Texas delegation. But a lot of the delegates were not happy with him at all. And they said, at this point, Donald Trump is our guy. We all need to get on board and support the nominee. But the important thing to know about Ted Cruz is that his entire political career has, to this point, has been one huge calculated risk. He was the person who stood alone and essentially was responsible for the 2013 federal government shutdown. He called Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a liar. Up until, for most of the primary, he was the only candidate who aligned himself with Donald Trump. He thought, because Donald Trump was going to flame out, and he thought that he would inherit all of Donald Trump's supporters, that didn't happen. And so now we see this next sort of calculated risk that he's taking in becoming really the lone national Republican figure to stand against Donald Trump. You have to really wonder at this point what Marco Rubio and Scott Walker are thinking now that you have Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and now Ted Cruz standing against Donald Trump as he is set tonight to accept his party's nomination for president.
Yeah, the ultimate question is, what is the Republican Party now and what has it become? If Trump wins, the Republican Party as we know it is no longer. And questions remain about what it looks like even after if he should lose. But the gamble then for Ted Cruz is, does he have a career left in Texas on which to mount a 2020 campaign? It's a fascinating, and obviously the delegation there in Cleveland, these are Trump supporters. So the question is, how does the rest of Texas or Texas Republicans feel about what he did tonight, and how is that going to carry over as he tries to maintain a career going forward, again, as a launch pad to 2020?
That's exactly right. He could end up like Rick Santorum, who does not have a seat in Congress and is essentially a figure of TV green rooms as he goes to cable TV to give interviews. I mean, that could happen if he doesn't win in 2 years when he's up for re-election.
Well, again, the whole question about this, the campaign itself and the convention has been its disorganization, Donald Trump's wife plagiarizing him, insisting that she didn't. Oh, well, yes, she did. And just utter disorganization. Who's staff? Who's preparing and who's organizing? All of these questions around the convention, and not a lot of attention, not a lot of bump. And then, of course, his vice presidential candidate, his running mate, Mike Pence, takes the podium last night and says this.
You know, he's a man known for a large personality, a colorful style, and lots of charisma. And so I guess he was just looking for some balance on the ticket. For those of you who don't know me, which is most of you, I grew up on the front row of the American Dream.
Here we go. I said that. What do you get? What's the sense of what's going on? I mean, obviously the media attention about what's not happening there, all of the negative. This is a convention in shadow, in opposition to. What's the sense of the delegates about what's happening to them and what this means for the Republican Party going forward? What are you hearing?
Well, as you well know, delegates, and these delegates tend to be, they're movers and shakers in the party. Some are members of Congress, and they, like politicians, will say things to you privately that they will not say publicly. I spoke to a group of moderate Republicans from the California delegation early on, and they accused the Trump campaign of committing campaign malpractice, really, that traditionally a GOP convention, any convention for that matter, is the opportunity for a party to sell its message broadly, and that the focus on Hillary Clinton's involvement in Benghazi, the fact that she should have anticipated that attack and prevented the death of so many Americans, including an ambassador, the calls of lock her up, essentially what amounted to, a lot of Democrats believe anyway, a sort of a Salem witch trial of Hillary Clinton earlier in the week, that is good for rallying the base, but that the base has already been rallied. And really, at this point, this convention was an opportunity to pivot, and that has not happened. We'll see if Donald Trump does that tonight. But up until this point, as you say, this has not been an opportunity for the party to reach moderates, to reach even moderate Democrats, really, and to bring them into the fold.
Yeah, as you say, the attack on Hillary Clinton, that's given. It was given again last night. Mike Pence did talk about their opponent. Let's listen.
This election comes down to just two names on the ballot, so let's resolve here and now that Hillary Clinton will never become president of the United States of America. Now, Hillary Clinton essentially offers a third Obama term, and the role is perfect for her. She championed Obamacare because years earlier she had all but invented it. The national debt has nearly doubled in these 8 years, and her only answer is to keep borrowing and spending. And like the president, she thinks the path to a growing economy is more taxes, more regulation, and more government.
GOP vice presidential candidate Mike Pence last night at the Republican National Convention. You know, it's interesting because an attack on your opponent is what you expect at a convention like this. But in this environment where so many people at the convention have their questions about Trump, it does come across as, well, look, if it's not him, it's Hillary. So think this through, fellow Republicans.
Right. And we should also say something about Mike Pence himself. I mean, it was his first introduction to a national audience last night. You heard some of that self-deprecating humor. He gave a really good performance. I mean, setting aside the politics, speaking only about the performance, it was very good. And a lot of delegates around me compared him to Ronald Reagan. They said it was a Reagan-esque delivery. Mike Pence himself is a proven fundraiser. He has a connection to the Koch brothers. He's a staunch social conservative. Last night he said he's a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. But what's lost in all of that is that he and Donald Trump disagree on three major issues. Mike Pence endorsed TPP, the trade deal that Donald Trump is against. He voted for the Iraq War. Donald Trump says he is and was against the Iraq War. And he also denounced Donald Trump's ban on Muslims entering the country. However, the Trump campaign says none of that really matters because in selecting Mike Pence, it's a signal to the party that Donald Trump himself, who has not always been a Republican, but that Donald Trump will govern as a true conservative. So that message, again, got lost this morning and even late last night because of what happened with Ted Cruz. And even earlier in the week, Joni Ernst, who is the rising star in the party, her speech was pushed well out of prime time because retired Lieutenant General Mike Flynn went off prompter and delivered an incredibly long speech. Even after her, Paula White, who's the televangelist, who is an evangelical icon, she delivered this rousing prayer, Frank, that it was like a 10-minute prayer that could have risen the dead. I mean, it was an amazing prayer, and nobody heard it except for a couple of reporters and the security guards in the stadium because she went on even after Joni Ernst.
Jeff, I'm going to have to push you out of primetime right now, too, but I'm going to have you back because I know you're going to be in Philadelphia, and we'll get coverage from
Fantastic.
Jeff Bennett from Time Warner Cable News. Then stay with us on the state of things. There's more to come.